We're not going to beat around the bush. It's the trade deadline, people. If there was a trade that went down today or in the last week, we're going to talk about it on this episode of Baseball Barbercast. And I promise that when I go for it at the deadline, I'm going to actually go for it. Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbercast, the only baseball podcast in the world willing to trade away all of its prospects for one chance at love. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. And we may know about farm systems, but we'd get rid of them in an instant if it meant falling in love.
And Jake, that is why I am rocking my San Diego Padres hat today, because I've learned as we've covered these here trade deadlines and the off seasons over the last half decade or so professionally, that there's really only one team that you can 100% always count on to keep you entertained during the transactional action of a Major League Baseball calendar. And it is the Padres of San Diego. They are one of 30 teams we will be discussing on this episode of Baseball Barbercast, being recorded shortly after the 6 p.m. Eastern trade deadline on Tuesday, July 30th. Historically, the deadline has been at July 31st, but the commissioner now has the opportunity to make it somewhere between July 30th and August 4th, I believe. This year, we get it as early as possible. July 30th, the trades were a-flowing over these last few days, Jake. We already covered a good amount of them on Saturday or on Sunday evening, but now the buzzer has sounded. Pencils down, as they say, and we got a lot of trades to get to, and we are going to be breaking it down team by team because that is really the only way we can think to organize it.
And guess what? Your favorite team, my dear listener, you made a trade. That's right. Everyone dealt. Everyone smelt it, and therefore, indeed, everyone did deal it. We will go through all 30 clubs and tell you what we think about their deadlines. We will give them a grade, I've decided just now. I will pull a grade out of my tush.
Let's
and
do
I
it.
Will throw it right onto the team because people like easy things to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things as we go, we'll go traditional division by division. I'm sure as we start flying grades, you know, throwing grades around in the second half of the show, we're going to be like, oh, wait a minute. This is way better than the grade we gave them earlier, but we're going to do our best. And as always, we like to be comprehensive here on Baseball Barbercast, and that's what we're going to attempt to do.
And a good teacher learns from their mistakes. That's one thing I learned when I was a teacher. One more nugget before we hop in to the podcast, Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, most years for the deadline, I go dark.
Most is probably not the right word, but certainly
for the last three seasons in 2021, 22, and 23, I turned my phone off and had the deadline revealed to me in one big blast from Jordan Schusterman. For reasons, we did not opt to do that this year. We are sorry to the overwhelming number of people who were very disappointed. That shtick will return in the future. Do not worry.
Yes. And I am not going to say I'm disappointed because I understand the challenges that it was presented for both of us and our respective employers. It is a great bit and I'm very proud of it and I hope to bring it back in the future. However, we hope that people understand why it was maybe not the easiest thing in the world to do. Jake, you're recording this today from Citizens Bank Ballpark, where the Yankees and Phillies are playing. I know they're about to get started here. Shouts out to the Phillies for providing a place for you to podcast quietly and professionally. But that is the context. So again, we didn't want to acknowledge it. We probably should have mentioned it on Monday's show, but you got to witness it. You got to receive the Passan and Rosenthal notifications all afternoon long. And I got to say, Jake, just before we start going team by team, we literally had nothing until 1 p.m., 2 p.m., and then they started flowing like crazy all the way to where we're getting, you know, five bonus relievers after the buzzer.
Jordan, as a whole, this deadline, there was a lot of movement. Maybe we'll talk about the big picture later on, but I sit here at 6:39 p.m. Eastern time in the bowels of the bank, relatively underwhelmed by what I have seen. My biggest critique is that not enough teams put their futures on the line for the chance at a glorious present. And that is what I prefer GMs to do. Is that smart? Maybe not.
Yes.
Is it entertaining? Absolutely.
That said, and now we're going to start going team by team here because we got a lot of stuff to cover. I'm going to pose a question to you, and just as we go along the way, I would like you to answer, what is the trade that showed up on your phone that you got to receive with everyone else that you were like, whoa?
Yeah.
So you don't have to answer right now, but I'm just saying, let's just keep that in mind, because there are a couple, I think, that even ones that might not necessarily even mean that much.
I mean, I can tell you right now, it was Eloy to the Orioles, yeah. But we'll talk about that. Actually, we'll talk about that right frickin' now,
let's
because the
Baltimore
let's
start
Orioles,
there. Yeah.
They will be our first team, because there is a lot of nuggets here. Okay, in new Baltimore Orioles, Eloy Jimenez, designated hitter, occasional outfielder. In the final year of a big contract,
he better not be playing outfield. Oh no, something's going terribly wrong.
He better not be on the 2025 Orioles. Austin Slater, depth outfielder from the Reds. Zach Eflin, number three starter from the Tampa Bay Rays. Christian Pache and Sir Anthony Dominguez coming in from the Phillies. Trevor Rogers, left-handed starter from the Miami Marlins. Oh, and what's that after the deadline? Gregory Soto also coming over from the Phillies. I'm actually looking out the window here at Citizens Bank Park. I can see him driving away. That's not true.
Bye.
I made that up.
Bye, Gregory
going the other
Soto.
Way. The main thing's going the other way. Austin Hayes, Connor Norby, and Josh Stowers.
Kyle Stowers. You're the 50th person to tweet or say Josh Stowers today.
Sorry.
Josh Stowers, I hope you're doing well.
Shouts out.
You're not part of this trade. That is Kyle Stowers heading to Miami. All right, Jake, the Orioles are one of the best teams in baseball. They improved in some way. Eflin certainly makes them better. We already saw him debut with them. They have got the bullpen. They've added pitching. That is a real thing. We'll get to Eloy in a second. How much better did they get? Is this a sufficient kind of series of moves for a team that has a chance to win the World Series this year?
No. They could be. These moves are putting a lot of faith in the Orioles' pitching development apparatus at the major league level. That is the case with Sir Anthony Dominguez, with Trevor Rogers, and with Gregory Soto. All of those guys have team control, which is something that teams like the Baltimore Orioles, who are, in quotes, smart, like to acquire. Because you have the time to mold a player into something, and you have them for a long period of time. That being said, none of these players that they acquired, except for Zach Eflin, are sure contributors this postseason. That is the problem. Sir Anthony Dominguez and Gregory Soto were not really throwing high leverage innings for the Phillies.
They were pitching.
Being put into
they were
situations.
Big league pitchers, yeah.
The Philadelphia Phillies deemed, one of the other teams that is the best, deemed these two players unworthy of throwing high leverage innings for them in the postseason.
Yeah.
Right? Now, maybe the Orioles think they could tweak some things. That's fine. But the case is that there's work to be done there. And so that is why I would give this deadline for the Orioles a C freaking minus, because they left a lot to be desired. They maybe made some smart moves, but I don't think that they did anything that made their team drastically better this season. Their World Series odds do not jump up either this year or the next or the following. And I'm not saying I need them to trade Jackson Holliday for Tarik Skubal or anything, right? What I'm saying is they spent two prospect bullets in Connor Norby and Kyle Stowers, and they spent them on a pitcher, Trevor Rogers, who might not be that good, to a team with potentially a top five reliever in baseball, Tanner Scott, who ends up getting traded. Right now, we can debate whether or not the Orioles package was better than what they got, blah, blah, blah. The point is, they did not shoot for the moon. They did not go full in. The Baltimore deadline, to me, is half measures.
Yep. Yep. I think it's a little bit more than that. I would give it a C. And yeah, that Rogers decision is one that is going to have to, I can understand with the years of control, you're hoping that he could really be something for you moving forward. But I don't know if we've seen enough. I know the run profession's been better recently, but it's not like the peripherals are awesome and the stuff is awesome. And so that's going to have to return pretty quickly for us to feel really good about what they did here. And then Eflin, obviously, you're hoping starts a postseason game and is solid.
One last point on the Birds. What Mike Elias and that front office has done in Baltimore is remarkable, and they deserve quite a bit of credit for all of the transactions they've made to get to this point. Some of those transactions that I hated at the time that have, you know, borne fruit in the long run. Mm-hmm. We still do not know whether this front office is good at being a buyer, at adding talent at the deadline to try and win a World Series, because I think you have to be a little bit stupid sometimes to get those players. You have to overpay. And I could be proven wrong in time, as I've been before. I just don't think the Orioles got impact, game-changing, season-altering pieces at a deadline where the door is open for them.
Agreed. The last thing I'll say, then we'll move on to the Yankees, is still give them credit for Corbin Burnes. And that thing you just said is we're going to be saying about a lot of the best teams of baseball over the next hour. So keep that in mind. Let's move on to the Yankees, who maybe is one of those teams. What did the Yankees do with this deadline, Jake Mintz?
They traded for Jazz Chisholm Jr., second baseman, a third baseman, an outfielder, a Bahamian, Eniel De Los Santos, and Mark Leiter Jr., a pair of relievers. Eniel De Los Santos coming from the Padres, Leiter from the Cubs, and they traded Caleb Ferguson away to the Astros. I don't really want to spend too much time on the Yankees because their deadline, even more than Baltimore, is defined by what they did not do. They did add Jazz. We talked quite a bit about that on our most recent podcast on Monday. You can go back and listen to that. And they really didn't do much since then. Leiter and De Los Santos are nice bullpen pieces, and it is a relief group that needs some help. But it just does, it feels like this team needed one more offensive boost, and that piece doesn't come. And for a fan base that is always hungry for World Series titles, it just doesn't feel like enough.
Totally agree. I'm giving them a B minus because I think the Jazz has real potential to be impactful, not just this year, but next year. I think Leiter is very underrated. I think he brings them the swing and miss that bullpen desperately needs. And considering the cost that they spent for Mark Leiter, who has multiple years of team control, I felt like they did really well there. I mean, we saw some of these other relievers with multiple years go for a ton. And, you know, I like Ben Cowles. I watched him hit home runs at the University of Maryland, but I think they'll be fine without him. So I'm giving them a B minus. I agree. There's still a lot of questions about this offense, but now that they're getting healthier, which is not always a sure thing with them, I still feel like they got better. I think the Jazz, we've already seen it. I think the Jazz can definitely help them a lot. So B minus for me for the Yankees.
A C plus for me. And the reason I'm lower on it is because this was not the behavior of a team in a must-win season.
That's true.
And I think that's what they are. We can dream of Juan Soto dying in pinstripes, but that's gonna be a debate. He's going to take the most money almost certainly, and that might come from somebody else. And if you only end up getting 1 year with this generational talent next to Aaron Judge, you have to make the most of it. And I don't think that let's say the Yankees make the playoffs, lose in the DS or the CS, Soto leaves. Are Yankees fans going to look back on this fondly? No, absolutely not.
Yep.
And I think that to me, that's maybe not how you run your team emotionally, but I think that's my takeaway. And I feel pretty confident that our producer, Yankee fan, Andrew Hartz, agrees with me.
Oh, yeah. Andrew, drop your grade for the deadline in the chat here just so we can get confirmation. But let's move on to the Red Sox, because they are the third team in this division that is clearly trying to make the postseason this year. Hartz chimes in with a C+, so he's closer to you, Jake Mintz, which is fair. Let's talk about the Red Sox. The Red Sox, a team we were worried, wow, are they still going to consider selling even though this team's actually pretty good? Their pitching has regressed a ton recently. What would they do to address some of that? They bring in a couple relievers, Luis Garcia and Lucas Sims on deadline day. They bring in a controllable young pitcher in Quinn Priester from Pittsburgh. They traded one of their, 15 or so best prospects in Nick York to Pittsburgh for that. They bring in Danny Jansen, a bit of a curious fit positionally, but a right-handed bat that they certainly could use. James Paxton, they get from the Dodgers also as pitching depth. This is also, man, this is probably a C+ for me. I feel like this team is good enough to deserve more investment here. I feel like this farm is deep enough to really trade more away to acquire some more impactful talent. They gave away some good players, especially for Jansen and certainly York for Priester. I like the idea of Priester kind of in the same way that we talked about with Rogers, but I'm not confident that he's going to help them this year at a time when he definitely
you know, they really, every start is really important. And so that gives me concern. Sims and Garcia are nice rental relievers who should definitely help their bullpen. Jansen, I like him, but all rentals except for Priester, I don't know. It also felt pretty cautious, and I'm not particularly shocked by that for Reslow. So C plus for me for the Red Sox.
Yeah, I think I'll give it a B minus just because the expectations with this team were lower heading into the year. So it's like harder for me to be mad about it. Yep. I have more faith in this pitching dev group developing Priester into something impactful than I think I do in the Orioles developing Rodgers into something impactful. Yeah, and I know that there's more team control, so they have more runway to do that.
Sure.
The Netflix doc, this is not going to be a particularly interesting episode, I think.
It could have been its own thing. At this
deadline day could have been an episode. There's 8 episodes.
Now, oh really? I didn't even know how many episodes there were. I
think there's 8.
Okay. So yeah, now it's like the last 10 minutes of episode 3. Because we have way more interesting stuff that happened over the first few months than anything that happened over the last week.
Someone thinks they're making the playoffs. But you know, Jordan, you know what their big deadline acquisition is? It's going to be Tristan Casas coming back from injury.
They are. Alex Cora will definitely say that.
I need to do a look around GM availabilities today. And for every time a GM references an injured player returning as their deadline addition, I will take a shot. And I will stumble my way home. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Rays. I don't want to linger on them because I kind of went off on them last podcast, and we got some great emails from people. I would actually like to read those once the deadline dust settles. Really interesting insight from some Rays fans, just kind of on my opinion about how their willingness to trade anybody away creates a bizarre atmosphere in the fan base. Today, they traded away Sean Armstrong and acquired Dylan Carlson. I believe all the other moves that they made, we discussed on Monday. But the big takeaway is who then they did not deal, and that's Yandy Diaz, who I heard the Astros were definitely interested in, but did not have the prospects to go and deal for.
Yep.
And Brandon Lau, who stays in-house at second base.
And Zach Littell, who had a 1 year of team control. Pete Fairbanks, another reliever that was at least rumored to be nearly on the move at some point. So that's interesting to kind of hold it in there. Them and Toronto, I think, have varying levels of thinking they're going to be very good in 2025 or thinking they're at least going to compete. I think both teams have differing levels of convincing arguments that that will actually be the case, but they've gone about it in very different ways. Obviously, Tampa Bay has been much more willing to trade away players that were under team control for next year and beyond. Ahmed Rosario, another one, that was a rental. He goes out the door. To the Dodgers for the second consecutive year. Dylan Carlson is an interesting buy low. He hasn't really hit for a while now. I don't really know where he fits in to their plans long term, but you know, I guess that's an interesting buy low for, of course, a reliever and Armstrong that they don't really need anything for. And then what they view for Morel is, I think, going to be a really interesting question. I mean, they got a lot of great prospects, of course, and for Randy and Paredes that we can keep an eye on. But Morel is the one that, like, how much do they really think Morel can, you know, turn into something special? Already playing second base, which we haven't seen him play since 2022, where he fits defensively, how they view him as like an actual part of their core. That is what I'm most interested in about what the Rays did. And then also just like, how good do they think they can be in 2025 is also something I'm obviously very interested about for Toronto. As for giving the Rays a grade, I mean, again, like, I always feel bad celebrating trading away good major league players when you're right in the thick of it. I liked a lot of what they got, but not as much as some of the other dramatic rebuilds, including Toronto and including Miami, who we'll get to later. So I still got to give it probably a C or a C plus, just because, like, I trust them. I trust them. I like some of the players that they got. But you're going pretty far backwards, and you have a lot of questions about that roster next year. So maybe it's a little harsh. Maybe I'm overcorrecting because we've been giving the Rays too much credit. It's not bad. They did get a lot back, but I'm just going to go C plus, maybe B minus.
Love this trade for the Rays. Who'd they give up? Who'd they get?
Yeah.
A plus. No, I'll give them. I'll just give them a flat B. If you're going to sell, if you're going to pull the plug on
they
players.
They did it pretty well. Yeah.
But the thing I like about what they did is that they clearly didn't trade guys for value that they didn't think was worth it, right?
Sure.
There were players that were rumored to be moved, like Diaz and Fairbanks, where the offer clearly wasn't good enough, and I trust the Rays more than anybody else. Quickly on Toronto. They did a good job, I think. I think this is an A-minus for me.
Yes, agreed.
Far as sellers go, this is a strong sell because a lot of the players they got back can help them in the short term.
Yes.
They got a bunch of upper minors talent, young big league players. This team is going to try and compete again in 2025. And from an optics perspective, that's the best type of selling at the deadline.
Totally, totally. And it's still a minus because this season is still an abject disappointment, like top three most disappointing seasons. But
nothing about the 2024 Blue Jays deserves a plus.
It deserves a plus or an A. Like, they still have a lot to prove because there's also reasons to still look at the team and be like, all right, great. I'm so glad you're still trying to win next year. But also, like, clearly it didn't work. And like, you're kind of running it back in a lot of these ways. And a lot of these pitchers are older. They have a lot of questions, the pitching staff still. But as for the deals that they made, I mean, the Houston one, like, we'll talk about it more with the Astros in a little bit. But like, wow. Again, getting three guys that are going to help you, not just this year, but for years to come, for a reliever, for a starter in Kikuchi that is a rental, that's outstanding. I liked some of the other lower-level prospects that they got in these other deals, Jay Harry, Charles McAdoo for IKF. The Jimmy Garcia ones feels a little light, honestly, when you see some of the other relievers and how good Garcia's been this year. But for the most part, I really like what they did. And I think in their situation, they recognized the situation, they held on to Vlad. Go extend Vlad. At some point, I'll do a whole rant on this in the next, 3 to 6 months. This should not be complicated. Just give him the Rafael Devers contract and move on. This is so easy if you have this guy and he wants to be there. Just make it happen. Again, clearly it hasn't for some reason at this point, but I really do think it has more to do with them than it does him. I would be giving him the Devers contract or some version of it and just going about my business because I don't know what else you want to see in someone you want to build around. Sure, he's a first baseman. Sure, the defense, whatever. The dude posts. The dude rakes. He's one of the most famous players in baseball. I can't think of anything else I'd want to build my team around, and I just hope they do that at some point.
Like, do you want a Hall of Famer?
He'll be your best player in franchise history. It's like,
that's
not
the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right there for you. Right there for you.
Yeah, make him the guy.
Yeah.
Let's move on from the AL East. They got a lot of our time because we are East Coast elitists. The American League Central did quite a bit less transactionally than the East. And that's just because, Jordan, you know, Midwesterners are just backward folk like you.
Mm-hmm. That's
me. You know what it is? It's the phone lines there. It's just the information is slower. You guys are still on Telegram. That's, I think, the problem.
Yes. Let's start with the Cleveland Guardians, who are still in first place. Guardians fans were not happy with how quiet they had been in the days leading up to the deadline. And then they swing a nice deal for Lane Thomas, the Washington Nationals. Outfielder under contract for next season. Sneaky, gaudy stolen base total. Absolutely torches left-handed pitching. Lane Thomas, perfect acquisition. I think they paid a hefty price. I think Jose Tane is very underrated. I like Alex Clemmie a lot. Nats did very well here, but Lane Thomas makes them better. And as we've talked about so many times with all these teams, very few teams actually have that many good hitters. So if you're able to add one to your collection of three good hitters that they obviously have in Naylor and Kwan and Jose Ramirez, one of the best players on earth, this is what they needed. He helps them now. He helps them in the future. They had the prospect depth to make this deal. I love it. This alone, it's a B+ for me. Probably still a B. I'm just going to say it's a B. You can maybe be more harsh. They needed more pitching. I think the Cobb move is nifty because I think he's almost back. And I think he does bring him and Matt Boyd, who's also healthy, almost healthy, and will be back soon. Again, these are not sexy names. They're veterans. I do think they will help them. They should have done more with the pitching staff. But I do think that Lane Thomas makes them a lot better on offense. And I am going to give it a B, but I can understand still feeling like they should have done more with the pitching.
Any team that's in first place and doesn't, like, buy a significant number of games and just doesn't put their foot down, I will struggle to clap for them. And that is the Guardians, who currently have a pitching staff of Tanner Bibee, Gavin Williams, Ben Lively, Carlos Carrasco, and Joey Cantillo. Yes, Alex Cobb and Matt Boyd were both acquired by them. Are they going to be that impactful? TBT. I like the Thomas ad. I do. But if this is a team that's playing big games in October, I know the bullpen is freaking awesome, but this, they could have used another starter. And you don't get to do this every year. You're not going to be great every year. last year's a great example for Cleveland, right? They made the playoffs in 22. We thought they'd be good in 23. They weren't. And they were disappointing. It's like when the door is open, you got to walk through it. And I think that this is a team with a pretty strong farm system that could have done a little bit more here. So I'll give them a C+, B-.
That's fair. Let's move on to Kansas City. Kansas City was a team I think we thought was going to be pretty aggressive. Obviously, they moved made the first big move of kind of trade season in trading for Hunter Harvey. That has not gone super well, which is what kind of preceded their other big move that they just made, which is acquiring Lucas Ersig from Oakland. They also get Michael Lorenzen, who is he starting depth? Are we moving him to the bullpen? I don't really understand that move because it seems like they have enough starters, but that is more
Jordan Schusterman.
Yeah.
Open up your brain. What does this team really need? What do they really need? They need another outfielder. Okay.
Oh,
Michael Lorenzen with a history of two-way shenaniganry.
Mm.
Anything so that we all watch less MJ Melendez, I think would be good.
All right. So you want Lorenzen as the defensive late inning pinch runner, whatever.
Yeah.
Great. Sounds good. I'm sure that's why they traded for him.
Yeah. This team gets a B- for me. Because
I think it's probably still a C+, because to me,
I want more.
They don't have the farm to deal from that Cleveland does.
Whose fault is that?
A lot of people that still work for the Royals.
Thank you.
But
and the White Sox.
And the White Sox. Again, though, Lorenzen, right? Like they have Lugo, Reagans, Marsh, Waka, Singer. Is Lorenzen replacing one of them? Is he going in? Is he going to be a really, I don't know. Ersig's really good. I think that Mason Miller's breakout has kind of overshadowed Lucas Ersig's breakout, which is a wild story. This is a guy who was drafted as a position player. He dealt with depression, alcoholism in kind of his transition between the Brewers and A's organizations as he was converting to pitcher full time, kind of grappled with that, battled that, overcame that. Once he really got to Oakland, it really clicked, and he is nasty. I mean, this guy is one of the hardest reliever throwers in the league, and he's got multiple awesome off-speed stuff. The command is obviously not awesome, but he will make – this is, when he's right, way more of an impactful addition than Hunter Harvey, in my opinion, and he's under team control for, you know, five more seasons. So they gave up some good prospects, but not anything I'd be too worried about. I think that definitely helps them. However, still not loving it. C+ for me.
Jake's guide to trade deadline analysis is the following. Did you trade for a starting pitcher that can start a playoff game? Did you trade for a reliever that you will trust in high leverage when the weather gets cold? Did you acquire a hitter
that will play every day? That will play every day.
That will play every day.
You're like excited to have in the lineup.
Those are the three things, right? Really, it's that simple.
Yeah.
Pitcher, a starter in a playoff game, high leverage October guy, everyday offensive player. They got one of those things. I think Ersig and a healthy Hunter Harvey. And so DeYoung and Lorenzen just doesn't do it for
Paul
me.
DeYoung,
it's C+.
To play third? To play second? Like, I don't... Weird.
To replace Bobby Witt,
dude,
who's
honestly,
clearly washed.
Yes. Those jokes are obvious. I like the Michael Garcia thing. Like, I want it to work. And it's just like, I was worried they were going to trade him in this deal for Ersig. I was like, oh gosh, please don't give up on Michael Garcia here. Anyway.
The Minnesota C+. Twins. Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
More like the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
Because they get an F for me.
D. D because, like, I still think they're a good team that if they're
what
healthy
they do, though,
has a chance.
We should say what they did.
They acquired Trevor Richards, a change-up specialist. He's really the only pitcher who throws more change-ups than any other pitch, or at least the only one that does. It's just change-up fastball, nothing else. That's his thing. He's fine. Obviously doesn't move the needle, but like, man, you also have an opportunity still here to win a division. And D- because I think that's the funniest grade. So D- for me.
I agree. If you ever lost sleep at night wondering what it would be like for American Idol winner Taylor Hicks to throw a changeup, then you need to go watch some Trevor Richards. Let's talk about the Detroit Tigers, who sold at this deadline, getting rid of Jack Flaherty, Andrew Chafin, Carson Kelly, and Mark Canna. The Tigers have been so boring this year, which is such a disappointment in this division because Kansas City has been anything but boring. However, I think they did a good job here at this deadline, getting rid of the players that they needed to get rid of without trading Skubal. It really never felt like that was going to happen. I'm glad that it didn't. They get just a very boring B minus for me.
Yep. I'll give it a B. I think I just like the prospects that they got back across the board. Lorenzo and Trey Sweeney, who could help, you know, Detroit here soon. Lorenzo had a ton of buzz, you know, last year as a real top catching prospect. Kind of cooled off a little bit this year. And then Canna, like, I just don't know how you're even getting like a former, like a good arm in Eric Silva for Canna from the Giants, who we're going to get to the Giants later. Like, what the hell are they doing? I agree. B for boring. Still a bit of a disappointing season. And I have a lot of questions about now that this division's getting better, I'm worried about how soon the Tigers are actually going to be able to compete. But I'm so glad they didn't trade Skubal. I didn't think they would. I think we spent way too much time talking about it. And I'm glad they didn't. So he'll win the Cy Young probably, and they will have that. They'll have the cool graphics to tweet when he wins the Cy Young.
And that's the AL Central, right? Just kidding. The Chicago White Sox.
All right. So
I'm going to let you cook.
Yeah. I mean, this was really bad, guys. Guys, friends, listeners, Jake, producer Andrew
Jordan,
Hartz.
Donkey.
Let's just move Crochet and Robert to the side, okay? The Crochet...
Unlike the White Sox, let's move these guys to the side.
Right. But, like, truly, like, I don't even really want to spend too much time talking about how they should have traded Crochet. You could make that argument. However, because of the next part of this conversation, I don't trust this team to get the best players back for these two stars, Robert and Crochet. The Crochet situation is very unique and very challenging. So, like, whatever. It was going to be hard to trade him no matter what. I think they'll probably still try this offseason. We'll revisit that when we get there. Okay, great. You have three players that we knew you were going to trade, for sure, right? In Fetty, in Pham, and Kopech. Fetty and Kopech with multiple years of team control. And for them to somehow package all of them into the same deal, three players, two with team control, and only get three players back, even if you are the biggest Miguel Vargas believer who has crushed AAA for 1,000 plate appearances, has a great approach, has not done in the big leagues, but like, fine. Okay. I don't know what the ceiling is for that. Okay, fine. Albertus and Perez are in A ball. There's promise. Perez was a futures gamer, but these are not, oh my God, they are one, you know, adjustment away from becoming top 25 prospects. And why would I believe that the White Sox are going to be the team to be able to get them to do that? So to combine all of these into this package and to trade Pham, right? There's so few hitters available. You couldn't get another press. To get three players for those three players on its own is just bad process. It's just weird. It just doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't mean that you're going to be able to somehow coax an overpay. It's not one-to-one. It's not a guarantee that the Astros would give up the same package that they gave up for Kikuchi, for Fetty. I understand that. But I just don't get how this is all you can get back. Even Tanner Banks, who's quietly a really good reliever with multiple years of team control, I didn't see exactly who they... I think they got back William Brugoya, who's a minor league infielder, who's, again, like, reasonably promising. But again, this farm is not good still. They're having the worst team of... maybe the worst team of all time. They can't pick higher than 10th in the draft next year. So it's not like that's going to be a thing that they're going to get at the end of this terrible, not rainbow, right? Like, this is an opportunity to get more back at all levels, and they just didn't get very much. And that is embarrassing.
F plus because
Lorenzo is cool. Or sorry, that's not Lorenzo. What am I talking about? That's the other trade.
Yeah.
F plus because why is it a plus? Because Albertus is from Aruba.
No.
And if it becomes awesome, you will have the whole country of Aruba cheering on the White Sox. No. F plus.
And here's why for me. You could have just gotten more players. You need more players. It's very difficult to identify who is a difference maker and who is not. And you notice that what smart teams do is they acquire a lot of players and then they hope in a lot of trades, and they assume that some of these guys are going to hit. They have now banked this deadline and their future, a significant part of it, on three individuals. That, in my opinion, is bad process and unwise. And I think if you asked anybody else around the game, in very basically every other organization, they would agree with you. Let's take a quick break and stop dunking on the Fwight Fwak, who get an F. And when we get back, we'll talk about the American League West. And welcome back to Baseball Barbercast. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman. Let's zoom out west and talk about the Houston Astros, who acquired Yusei Kikuchi and Caleb Ferguson at this deadline. The Yusei Kikuchi ad is another one of the big eyebrow raisers at this deadline. I'm going to talk about why Kikuchi, the player, is underwhelming, and then you can talk about why the return the Blue Jays got seemed pretty steep. As a price for the Astros to pay. Kikuchi is a free agent at the end of the year. And so when we talk about team control, there's nothing here, right? It's just the rest of the season. It's 10 starts and whatever playoff starts he makes. That's the other thing. Is this even someone who is starting a playoff game for you? I would say no. If Justin Verlander comes back healthy, he's the one. Framber Valdez is the two. And Ronel Blanco and Hunter Brown right now would both start playoff games over Yusei Kikuchi. Yusei Kikuchi throws with his left hand. That means what? A lot of right-handed hitters are going to face him. Where is a good place for right-handed hitters to hit? Oh, Houston, Texas, where you just have to pull the ball in the air over the third baseman's head and get it into the Crawford boxes for a home run. Kikuchi started off this year very strong. His off-speed has gotten absolutely pummeled into the earth for the last 2 months. I think he's fine. It's not a game-changing pitcher. However, it is the price they paid for that.
Yeah, and I had the same question too. It's like, oh man, is he even starting a postseason game? I think that the price that they paid, which we'll get to in a second, is reflective of either they just think Yusei Kikuchi is awesome. That's a possibility, right? And they think that he's a lefty that throws 97 and like there's only so many of those and he's a starting pitcher. Okay, great. That's one option. Two, they do not know when Justin Verlander is coming back. And combined with three, which is like this team has been ravaged by injuries on the mound and they're basically just trying to cover their ass for when the next guy goes down, which could be Framber Valdez, who remember had forearm issues earlier this year. Could be Ronel Blanco, who's now, I assume, also probably about to set a career high in innings. And Hunter Brown has been so volatile over the course of his young career that you don't really know what you're getting from him. All of that said, right? So like in that way, that is how I would explain it away. If I'm Jeff Bagwell or Dana Brown and someone comes into my office, I'd be like, what were you thinking? That's what I would say, right? That would be my explanation. However, based on how Kikuchi's been pitching and his flaws that you just described and the fact that it's a rental, that, again, like you better hope this dude's winning playoff games for you. Trading away three players who, not just three good prospects, three of your best prospects at the top of a weak system, three guys that were already helping you this year. I know Blas has not been good in his few starts, but Lo Profito was on the roster. Will Wagner also in AAA having good success. That is what is just so shocking because you're dealing from depth that could still be important this season and in the immediate future next year, right? So it's really quite the move and why we are so high on it for Toronto, because all three of those guys are going to help either down the stretch this year. It's great right now that Blue Jays can see what they have in Blas, see what they have in Lo Profito, and see if those guys in Wagner and see if they can really help them in 2025. That's why we really like it for Toronto.
And Blas is the one I want to focus on here because he's the one, I think, with a chance to be a legit middle of the rotation arm who could one day start a playoff game. It's just a really, really, really good fastball with a ton of carry from a high slot, mid-90s velo. He was drafted last year out of Georgetown and was pushed to the big league so quickly, in part because Houston had so many injuries. You give this kid a little bit more developmental cooking and he's going to turn into something pretty special. And so I don't think it's out of the question to say he could be better than Yusei Kikuchi in 2025 the major leagues.
Yeah.
And the Blue Jays have him for a long time.
But
I think one for one, that deal could have made some sense.
Sure.
But adding in Lopez-Fiedro and Wagner
just
makes this a very steep price to pay.
Right. And again, like, we don't want to be too hypocritical because of what we were talking about earlier, right? Like, we do like teams who are in a window to win that we like them to try, right? So in that sense, like, I'm never going to be too, but again, that doesn't mean you can't evaluate the return. And obviously the key thing here is, how good is Yusei Kikuchi? That is really the whole thing that we're talking about. And we are obviously going to find out in the very near future.
And quickly, this is a team that still has a bunch of flaws. I mean, they really need another bopper. They really needed another guy. Yeah. Who can make a difference on offense. And I know they just called up Pedro Leon, one of their top prospects.
Yes.
Still.
Yes. C for me for this deadline, because it could really blow up in their face both now and in the future. Very curious about Pedro Leon. He's been in AAA for the last 3 years. He was a top prospect at one point. Huge tools. Can he actually rein in the plate discipline and become something impactful? We're going to find out.
C for me too. Seattle Mariners, not that active today. Their only move on deadline day was acquiring JT Chagua from the Miami Marlins. Their other moves before today were to trade away Ryan Stanek and then to add Jimmy Garcia, Randy Rosarena, and Justin Turner. We talked about Randy. We talked about Jimmy. Let's talk about Justin Turner very briefly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think we knew that the Mariners were going to try and add at least one more bat. This is an interesting one because Justin Turner is the oldest hitter in baseball. He turns 40, like, right after the World Series. His power is gone. Like, there's really no slug left in there. And I don't expect that to suddenly return hitting in Seattle. However, the dude still kind of rakes. Like, he still makes more contact than almost any other hitter in the league. He's a really tough at bat. He's still drawing walks. He's still putting the ball in play. He's still hitting lefties very, very well. And I would just say that, like, he also makes them better, right? They moved on from Ty France. He's going to help them at first. He's going to help them at DH. And I think combined with Randy and combined with Garcia, who at least among the relievers that moved this deadline, I know he's a rental. They didn't give up that much. B+. Like, I know Mariners fans wanted more because the offense has been so bad, but, like, it's one of the better deadlines. I really think it is. Like, Randy alone obviously puts them in a pretty rare category because of how few impactful hitters moved. But I think it's about as good as they could have done. Like, I guess they could. They didn't trade away any of, like, the top first round guys. I'm pretty satisfied. I think you got to give it to him.
Let's review Jake's checklist. Did they get a guy who bangs? Yes. Did they get a guy you can trust in high leverage situations in the playoffs? Yes, Jimmy Garcia. Did they get a starting pitcher? Didn't need to because they already have 50 of them. So I would give them a
five
B+
really good ones.
Well.
We should say they really don't have 50 anymore, but five really good ones. Justin Turner, who will play every day. So B+, maybe an A-. Good job, Mariners.
Speaking of A-, not the Texas Rangers are confusing. They traded away Michael Lorenzen to the Kansas City Royals and added Carson Kelly, a catcher from the Tigers, and Andrew Chafin, a reliever from also the Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why those were two separate deals. I don't know why we had to split up the Carson Kelly and Andrew Chafin transactions. First of all, Andrew Chafin, still good. Don't know why a bunch of other teams that in theory are going for it a lot more aggressively would not want to trade for Andrew Chafin. That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Guy nicknamed the Sheriff going to play for the Rangers, great.
Sure, like, great. He helps sense. Them, but you traded Lorenzen. What was the goal? What was the idea? What was the thesis of this deadline for the Rangers?
We can't sell because we got hot at the wrong right time. But we cannot buy because we are not that good. That is the thesis. And I think that these are the teams in the toughest positions, in my opinion, because the Rangers' deadline plan a week and a half ago was probably sell. And then they swept the White Sox, mopped the White Sox, shouldn't have been a surprise to anybody. But then that forces them to reevaluate what they're going to do.
And then they got swept by the Blue Jays.
Then they got swept by the Blue Jays. And so it's like, this team's not going to make the playoffs, but they can't go in. They can't go out.
They have enough coming back, right? Healthy. Oh, here comes Young. Here comes DeGrom. There's a chance that there's obviously enough talent on this team for them to stay relevant. Like, I don't want to discount that. However, respectfully, I don't think they're very good. And God bless them.
I didn't think they were very good last year either.
I know, right? And they won the World
Series.
Even
at the end.
So, right. So, like, but they did that. And I think that also gives them the cushion of being like, how mad are you really going to get?
Yeah.
If you're the fan. And I think that's fair. That said,
I
D. because if we're still grading deadlines, I guess D plus because you didn't subtract too much from a team that is still solid, but like, come on.
I'm going to say B minus.
Okay. All right.
Because
maybe D's
this
a little
is
harsh,
not,
but yeah.
This is not a team that could have really sold with where their record was at so close to.
But then they could have got more. They could have got more relevers. They could have got another starter.
You're saying they should have picked Elaine.
Yeah. More so. I think that they had enough to do a little bit more just to add a little. If they had added one or two more pitchers, I would have been like C plus, B minus, fine, moving on.
I will say, from a neutral's perspective, biggest missed opportunity of the deadline was the Rangers not selling, because the players that they would have flooded the market with would have made this a lot more interesting. Scherzer, Eovaldi, Kirby Yates, that would have added a very different dynamic to what went on over the last couple of days. Two more teams in the AL West, the Oakland A's sending out Lucas Erzig and Paul Blackburn, a pair of pitchers. Relatively quiet deadline for the A's, but there really wasn't a whole lot else they could have done. They hang on to Brent Rooker, who still has a bunch of years left. That's,
they certainly could have done. They certainly could have done more. But they hang on to Rooker, whose value will probably be the same, you know, this offseason.
So,
yeah.
I think the reason I'm going to give them a D is because they have five impending free agents at the end of the year. Ross Stripling, Alex Wood, Scott Alexander, Trevor Gott, TJ McFarland. For whatever reason, none of them got traded. And that, if you are the 2024 Houston A's, Oakland A's, the whole point of having anybody on a one-year contract like that is so that you can trade them at the deadline for prospects. And whether or not this was a failure to identify the correct players to do that with, or they couldn't get the deals done, or those guys got hurt, that's all unfortunate. They have succeeded in doing this type of thing in the past, in the buy and deal at the deadline, and they just didn't really pull it off this year in the same way.
I think that's fair. I like the Cade Morris, who they got back from the Mets for Blackburn, but like, it's a C for me. Like, they still could have, as you mentioned, those guys and Duhar, right? Like, I've liked watching Oakland, but yeah, it feels like there were, and even Erzig, I feel like maybe could have gotten even more.
You mentioned that. Don't let this underwhelming deadline distract you from the fact that the Oakland A's absolutely rick. One more team, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Angelus, Carlos Estevez going to the Philadelphia Phillies, Luis Garcia on his way out the door to who?
So the Red Sox.
To the Red Sox, right?
And I still have not seen a return for that trade yet. So I guess we'll find out there. I mean, they crushed this Estevez deal, right? I think we already talked about it. But what are you?
Kevin Pillar didn't get traded?
Okay, well, which brings me to my grade for the Angels, which is still a C+, because you're still bad and you had more guys you could have traded, whether it was Renjifo, whether it was Taylor Ward, whether it was Pillar, whether it was some of your other pitchers, Tyler Anderson. I think, again, Estevez, you did great there. I love getting Klaassen, all the Gary, but like, come on, guys. Like, what are we doing? Like, we gotta talk about pick a lane. You're bad. Also, Mike Trout just had a setback in his rehab, and I'm so sad. So, C plus feels, you know. So, anyway, Angels.
So, Kevin Pillar starts the year with the White Sox and is bad, signs with the Angels, and has just been like straight up good for them for the last 3 months. And he's said he's retiring at the end of the season.
This is how he's going to go out.
He's just
because
gonna
Mike
go out.
Trout's still hurt. They need to keep Kevin Pillar around.
That is just what?
Yeah. Bad. Angels, not well run. Not a surprise. They bummed me out to think about them. Hopefully George Klaassen is awesome. That's really all I have to say about them. That is the American League West. Let's move to the National League East and go to that team that acquired Carlos Estevez for George Klaassen and the Italian lefty Samuel Aldeguerri. They get Carlos Estevez for the bullpen. They trade away Gregory Soto and Sir Anthony Dominguez. So Estevez in. Tanner Banks in, lefty from the White Sox. Sneaky solid. Not, you know, probably not coming in and giving you a 1-2-3 in the NLCS, but maybe, you know, maybe he's fine. And then Austin Hayes, who comes in for Pache.
Simple. As I sit here
in
Citizens Bank Park, they got Austin Hayes, a right-handed hitting outfielder, who they're going to spend the next 2 months playing pretty regularly, but then come playoff time, will probably just platoon and face lefties. And Estevez, who's a kind of a beast, and will throw a lot of high leverage innings for them. This is a B plus for me.
Yeah, I think B for me. B for me.
They fulfilled the roles that they needed to fulfill. I would have liked maybe one more depth starter and another bullpen arm.
Yeah.
But I think this is a totally fine deadline for the Phillies.
Yep. It also looks pretty fine compared to the team that is in theory chasing them. I guess there's two teams that are not really chasing them. They're not even chasing them. But they are trying to make the postseason. That is the Mets and the Phillies. But let's start with the Phillies, who I guess are still...
The Braves.
Are they
not
still...
the Phillies.
Sorry.
The Braves.
The Braves. Are the Braves still ahead of the Mets? They are, by half game as we record this. The Braves, do you tell your story, Jake? Because this is really just one of the goofier sequences. They are another one of the more head-scratching moves, not in a bad way, but just kind of funny. It's really the only thing they did. They brought back Jorge Soler. They are paying for Jorge Soler. They didn't have to give up very much for it because they're taking on the contract that he just signed with the Giants. They also bring back Luke Jackson. Jake, you saw the Braves recently, and you asked Mr. Brian Snitker and be like, hey, like, how does this season compare? Like, oh, deadline's coming up. Are we going to make some moves that hopefully propel us to a miraculous World Series title? And what did he tell you?
Well, my question was just, in 2021, you lost Ronald Acuna, and your outfield wasn't very good, and you rebuilt this team at the deadline and won the World Series. Do you think about that? Does that inform the way you move through this season? And Brian Snitker said, no. He said, every season is different.
Why would you bring up 2021 to talk about 2024? It's so different.
Yeah. He said, every season presents its own challenges. And I understand what he was trying to say, right? He made the point that in 2021, they only really lost Acuna, whereas this year they've had way more injuries that have been debilitating. And I think he is 100% spot on about that. But just the way that he said, no, 2021 does not inform the way I move through 2024. Well, now it might have to, because Jorge Soler, who ripped the iconic ding dong in Houston in game 6 of the World Series, is back in a Braves uniform. This one is a little bit complicated for me because he's going to have to play the outfield every single day because Marcell Ozuna is the designated hitter. His outfield numbers are horrible. He has not been an everyday outfielder really since the beginning of 2022. He is now 2 years older, 2 years slower, 2 years with more injuries. And so I cannot imagine he's going to be a good defensive outfielder. Maybe they're just going to use him off the bench to hit against lefties. I don't know. He definitely adds a whole lot of juice and a spark that the lineup needs. But I really think that the Braves needed one more outfield piece here.
Yeah,
Kevin Pillar, who was on the team last year.
I agree. I am still also surprised they did not acquire some more pitching. Especially with the Lopez. I know that they are really, like, Schwellenbach looks great. They just called up Elder. Lopez, you know, injured now. That surprised me. Soler is an interesting addition for all the reasons you just laid out. Also in relation to Ozuna, right? I mean, when Soler was there balling out, Ozuna was horrible and a complete non-factor, like, you know, out of the mix. So now to have a really good version of Ozuna with Soler is an interesting part of the lineup. But yeah, I mean, defensively, it's hard to feel great about asking Soler to do that. That said, on offense, like, I barely noticed because the Giants are so irrelevant and I never watch them. He's been awesome for like 2 months. Like, he's really been what they paid for. And so in theory, he will be able to continue that for Atlanta, whose offense, because of the injuries and because of some underperformance, has not been anywhere close to what we hoped it would be. So I think he helps them. I think he makes them better. I don't know, B minus, I see plus, like, Soler's really good. So, like, he was one of the best hitters that got traded. So, like, that's a win for the Braves, for sure. As weird as it is, all the past, you know, but they still needed more pitching, in my opinion. The upside is there for them, but it's still too fragile for me to feel great about where they're at.
I agree. I would say B minus. He's a difference maker who does not fit with their current roster, in my opinion. Yep. The New York Mets, if you're a pitcher, they might have traded for you in Tyler Zuber, Huascar Brazaban, Paul Blackburn, Ryan Stanek, and Jesse Winker. We talked about Stanek and Winker already. There's not a whole lot to say about Zuber, Brazoban, and Blackburn, really. They just need people to throw baseballs, and they got that. I think this is a B-minus boring deadline for the Mets.
I'll say it's a C+. Winker has certainly been good, and, you know, but, like, if they're actually going to stay in it, they probably needed to do more with the pitching. And I know I wasn't expecting David Stearns to start mortgaging in the future, but it's kind of like Boston, where I feel like you've proven you're good enough to where you kind of owed your roster a little bit more. I think that would be the simplest way for me to put it. So whatever I give the Red Sox, I would give them the same grade.
If they had done this deadline and Kodai Senga hadn't gotten hurt, I would have given it a better grade. But, like, you know that your best pitcher is probably out for the year and your team is still worth investing in, and yet you don't add that impact starter.
Also, it's like, oh, Blackburn's great. Oh, he's under team control for next year. And I'm like, all right, great. What the hell is the rest of the rotation? if we're thinking for next year, I'm like, all right, well, I still have a lot of questions about who's pitching for the Mets in 2025, let alone for the rest of this season. C plus, I guess, is fine for them. The Nationals of Washington. I think they could have done more. I really am surprised they didn't trade Finnegan. I know he gave up a million runs last night at the worst possible time. I still felt like just that was the time to cash in on Finnegan. They did well in the Thomas trade. They did well for, you know, Winker. They got a good pitching prospect back. They did well for Harvey earlier. So B, I think B, maybe even better than that. But I still feel like they could have dealt away more and gotten even more and hopefully spend some money this winter and try to be solid next year.
Yeah, I think I'll give them a B because they did sell.
Yeah.
There was a world in which they tricked themselves into thinking they were a competitive team.
Right here. I think they were in a good position. And by the way, related to that, tank away, baby. Like, let's go get some lottery luck and get the first overall pick next year. And now we ride, right? Because we really start to, you know, have an exciting core coming together if you can kind of nail that pick next year.
The pride of Cleveland, Ohio has entered the room. Big Pete. Peter Bendix, the Pobo of the Miami Marlins, walked into his kitchen, pulled out his tools, and got to cooking. This is what we call a fire sale, ladies and germs. He ripped everything out of his apartment and threw it out of the front yard and said, please, please take free. Not actually, though.
Not free.
The prices are quite the opposite.
Here's Josh Bell.
Look.
Didn't cost anything. Yeah.
Here's the deal. Okay. I wrote about this extensively at the beginning of the season. The Marlins are bad. They're an embarrassment. Peter Bendix took this job because he knew he could tear it down and build it up the way he wanted to, right? This was not a team, an organization that was going to be competitive this year or the next, and he knew that. Second Yuri Perez's arm went kablooey. Peter Bendix got to crunching those numbskis, okay? Big time sell time. And so I think, with all that understood, he did a pretty good job here.
Oh, yeah.
Acquiring prospects for Major League Baseball players.
Still an A- because, again, they're so far away from being good.
And so,
like,
far.
They're in the NL East and they're the Marlins. And, like, I still have so many questions about how this will actually come together. But, I mean, clap it up. They, again, De La Cruz, Brazoban, Jazz, Chagua, Bell, Tanner Scott, Brian Hoeing, Trevor Rogers, AJ Puck. Out the door. I think they got 15 prospects. I don't know, some absurd number. Guys, I mean, we could do a whole podcast on all the guys they got back, but I will just say broadly, I very much like the guys that they got back. The De La Cruz return, I thought, was outstanding. Did the Korean right-hander that they got from right-hander from Pittsburgh, if he is healthy, he could be a top 100 prospect in 18 months. Like, not to mention the giant haul from the Padres. They had guys that are going to help in the big league soon, guys that are far away, pitchers of all calibers, like just a sensational collection of prospects, and hats off.
The sheer logistical lift
yes.
of this.
Clinical.
Trading a player.
Clinical.
Trading a player takes time and effort and communication and logistics. And for them to trade this many players in this short period of time and not get overwhelmed by that, gotta say, pretty impressive. A-minus
to be able to do all of these deals and find time to tell Craig Mish that you're doing them. I mean,
amazing. Just, hey, Marlins. Marlins, make us proud.
A-minus. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. We're going to take a break. And when we return, two more divisions to recap their trade deadline activity. This might be our longest pod of the year. And I don't care because I'm having fun. We'll be right back on Baseball Barbercast.
And welcome back to Baseball Barbercast. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman, National League Central, leading that division, the Milwaukee Brewers. They made one move. They traded for Frankie Montas. He will start a postseason game for them. In fact, he might start the first postseason game for them.
Wow, Freddy Peralta, you know, has some horrible illness, maybe. But Frankie Montas has not been very good. Frankie Montas did start on opening day for the Reds. Frankie Montas is still throwing pretty hard. His splitter is still pretty good. However, obviously has been a disappointment for what now it's, I mean, he's been healthy, mostly healthy. The Brewers pitching situation, like they did with the Giants, like, okay, if you compare it to Cleveland, right, we've been comparing both of those teams for a lot of the same reasons, situations, first place desperately needs pitching. Really? This is your answer for the pitching? Montas versus Alex Cobb and Matt Boyd. I don't know. I mean, like, I guess Montas probably has a higher upside there. And Montas is healthy right now and will slot into the rotation right now. They just need innings. But after losing, you know, Christian Yelich, man, I don't, again, not that many impactful bats out there. Would have liked to see them do a little bit more, especially with what St. Louis did, which we'll get to here in a second. I'm a little worried that this is going to slip away for them.
Kevin Pillar.
Traded, yeah. So I'm the lowest on Montas, so I think it's great. A C for me. It's a C. Yeah,
did love him in Cincy, though.
They did. They absolutely loved. They loved.
They loved the man.
Frankie Montas was awesome. Like, even being around him in the first couple months in Cincinnati, like, he is an awesome dude. They love, but like, I, as a pitcher, I'm just not that much of a believer.
Great.
So prove me wrong, Frankie Montas.
From underwhelmed to overwhelmed, I think this is the A. I think the St. Louis Cardinals get the A. The best, you can't spell best fans in baseball without an A.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, it's a strong argument. They didn't have to give up any prospects of note with respect to Oliver Gonzalez doing his best in the DSL. And they gave up a player in Edmund and I guess Carlson, right, who have been non-factors this year. Edmund, because he's been injured, hasn't played a game. Carlson, because he's obviously just fallen out of favor and not a part of their team. To get one of the best starting pitchers on the market for this year and next year, and Tommy Pham, who I think will help. They needed a right-handed outfielder. You know, Armstrong, who will help the bullpen in some forms. I don't want to go too overboard here.
They could have used one more thing. You're right.
Yeah. Did they get that much better than, like, I think it's a B plus still, because did they get that much better than like the Mariners got? Not to
let me
back
it up.
Them? No.
Can I edit?
But they didn't have to give up anything. So
can I edit? That trade was an A.
Yeah. Deadline B plus.
Trade A. Deadline A minus.
Yeah.
Pham walking back into that room is going to be just sensational stuff. He brings the heat wherever he goes. Yep. Fetty will start a postseason game for them.
I think
and
so.
Then Armstrong.
He's fine. Yeah, they need it. He hasn't been great this year, but like he'll help in some form. But Fetty, yeah. Fetty's interesting, right? Because Lynn Michaelis and Gibson. Fetty now at 31 is just like, you know, young pup here coming into the Cardinals rotation. I'm just looking, like, Gray's obviously game one, Michaelis no shot, but like Gibson and Lynn have been exactly what you paid for. I'm not feeling awesome about either of them starting a playoff game, and that's obviously why they traded for Fetty, but like they also didn't give anything up for Fetty, so maybe he's just
right
covering innings. And yeah, so they didn't get that much better, but they got better and not that many teams did meaningfully, and they didn't give much up. So B plus for the full deadline, A for that trade for sure.
How did the Pirates do? Here's how I feel about the Pirates. You ready?
Yeah. Here's my grade for them. B minus minus minus.
C plus plus plus?
Yeah. Yeah. Glad they didn't go backwards. They got great major leaguers that will help them. IKF. I guess Brian De La Cruz. Jalen Beeks. Nick York, I like. But they traded away some prospects that I do like. And I don't really know if this is really getting them out of the middle in any sort of meaningful way. So, I, you know what? I do think C plus 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 is better than B minus 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 minus.
I just wanted more than this. The Pirates are working from a starting point where they need to wow me to make me believe, and they did not do that. And for that reason, they get the first ever C plus 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 in grading history. The Chicago Cubs had a perplexing deadline, acquiring Isak Paredes, acquiring Nate Pearson, and sending Christopher Morel and Jack Leiter. God dang it, Jake.
It's okay. You're not the only one.
Mark Leiter Jr., not Jack Leiter. Sending him to the New York Yankees. Cubs deadline is weird. They're the team most planning for 2025 in 2024 without really trading for prospects. This team, I don't think there was much else they could have done given how poorly they've played and how rinky dink they kind of were assembled. And I say that as someone who picked them to win the division. I have egg on my face. I think the mistakes they made before this made this deadline underwhelming. The deadline itself was fine. I'd give it a B minus.
Yeah, because I think Paredes does make them better this year and next year, but it does raise some questions. And we mentioned it kind of a few weeks ago when we were projecting ahead, like, they don't have a lot of flexibility here. They didn't have the contracts to pull off a deadline like Toronto and say, all right, this year didn't work, but we'll try again next year and we'll reload. So they kind of ended up stuck in the middle. And again, really disappointing season. Like we said, not the plan for Craig Council year one. So I think Cubs fans still have the right to be frustrated, but Paredes is kind of a nifty pickup, and I'm fascinated to see how he fits in that ballpark. I think that'll be really fun to see. But yeah, I can't even say, you know, C plus, whatever.
Really fun B-. To see. You B-. Like flyouts to the wall. Really fun to see Wynn just knocking it down the line in Wrigley. All right. The Cincinnati Reds got rid of Frankie Montas, Austin Slater, Lucas Sims, acquiring Ty France, Jacob Junis, Joey Weimer. They did not buy. They did not sell, really. They just kind of shuffled the chairs here a little bit. I would say that they sold, but they kind of did what the Rangers did with more transactions.
A little, but they didn't win the World Series last year. I don't know if you noticed. It's a C for me. Again, they didn't have that much they really could have done to sell or would have made sense to go that far backwards. It's been obviously an injury-riddled, disappointing season. It's kind of an interesting bet on Weimer. Like, I don't know if that's like, maybe they couldn't have gotten any more than him for Montas, but I am curious to see what they can get out of him. And, you know, they got a lower-level prospect for Sims, so... I don't know, man. Yeah, they get Ty France. Like, he's not, there's no way they're paying what he's going to want in ARB or need an ARB next year. So he's just like, I'm not really sure what his long-term purpose is there. Unless he suddenly all-star Ty France again and you want to give up on Encarnacion Strand. So C for me, that's what is on their hat. And that is a grade I am giving them for the deadline.
Love that. I'll give them a C too. National League West. The Los Angeles Dodgers acquired Jack Flaherty, Tommy Edman, Ahmed Rosario, Kevin Kiermaier, Michael Kopech, and sure, Brent Honeywell Jr. We'll tack him onto the end there. Flaherty is the big one. He comes over from the Tigers in the middle of something of a bounce back full season for the right-hander. He's from Los Angeles. He'll be a free agent at the end of the year. Kind of a rental. They paid a pretty decent price to go and get him. Does he start a playoff game for them? I would say right now, yes. I would say he does. Now, again, the Dodgers have had so many pitching injuries, and it's just unclear
right
who's coming back when and what they'll look like when they come back. Bobby Miller could start game two, or he could not throw another big league pitch for the Dodgers, right?
But
like Walker Buehler could be totally butt or start game one. We just don't know. Jack Flaherty coming to LA gives them more cushion.
This is a perfect example of the Dodgers looking around and being like, all right, no one else wants to trade for Jack Flaherty? Sure. Whatever, right? There are all kinds of other teams we've already mentioned where it's like, really? You couldn't use another starter? And the Dodgers have so many prospects that they were able to wait out to the literal last minute and be like, all right, fine, we'll get Jack Flaherty. Maybe he starts first in the playoffs, maybe he doesn't. But it's a nice, you know, expensive luxury insurance policy for all of our injured pitchers. So in that sense, I think it's pretty good. I think Edmund and Rosario are very interesting pickups. Edmund could prove to be very good, but a lot, you know, has a lot to prove there. Kiermaier certainly gives them center field depth that they've needed. I think it's a B. I think it's a B for me for them. Maybe that's a little Kopech also, I think, could actually end up being real. I would not be surprised if he's kind of awesome for them and he's in her team contract. So yeah, maybe even still a B plus for them. I think they actually did okay considering how few impact players actually ended up moving.
Yeah. Again, is this a team going for it?
Well,
no.
Well, I mean,
is anyone though?
Yes. It doesn't undo what they've done to this point. I mean, yes, of course they're going for it. But
right. This is, it's a bit of an underwhelming deadline, but it's important to remember all they did during the winter. You're right. I would also give them a B. San Diego Padres. Nobody wins the deadline like AJ Preller, baby.
A minus, baby. Who cares about the prospects? They'll regenerate another wave of them before you know it. Yeah. Just you wait. You know, Cash Mayfield, I know they just drafted him. He'll be headlining the next deal. So don't you worry. They traded a crazy amount, an absolute wild number of players to bring in to put together what could be one of the best bullpens in baseball, right? I mean, that's kind of the idea here. To get Tanner Scott, to get Jason Adam, now you have him. Jeremiah Stroud has been one of the best relievers since he's kind of slotted in to their, you know, late inning roles. And then Robert Suarez, one of the best closers in the league. So that's what they're going for. We knew there wasn't a whole lot to do on the position player side of things. So now you hope you get healthy and stay healthy. And you hope that by shortening the games with this awesome bullpen, you can cover up for a rotation that beyond Dylan Cease and Michael King, who's been very good, has a ton of questions still remaining with now zero depth to speak of beyond. I mean, I guess they still have, you know, Brito and Vasquez, but Classic Padres, A minus. Maybe that's generous because it's so aggressive and could blow up in their face. But I think Tanner Scott's awesome. And go Padres, go.
AJ Preller has been a volatile character for some time. What happens when you take that volatile character and you force him to stare down the barrel of an uncertain future? For the very first time in his tenure for the San Diego Padres, AJ Preller's future in that job is not a given. If the Padres miss these playoffs, he could get fired. So when you take a classically unpredictable active actor and you add a nice icing of desperation on top, you get these big time pays.
Listen,
for big time relievers.
If this dude was willing to trade the world when he had job security, are we surprised that he's willing to trade all of his top prospects for relievers at this deadline? No, I'm not. But it is interesting, right? That this is they've built this team in so many different ways over the last 5 years, and now we're seeing one that that could really work. But I think this Padres team is really good. So I think they're going to make the playoffs, and I'm really curious to see where how far they can go from there. A minus, we salute you, Preller, keeping us baseball podcasts very entertained. Three teams left. Let's go to the D-backs, the defending National League champions. They struck early with the acquisition of AJ Puck. We talked about that trade last week. One of the better left-handed relievers in the league. He will help. That is nice. Still a thin bullpen, I would say. Still some questions on the mound. Corbin Carroll, finally is actually really starting. He had a walk-off home run last night. Finally started to look like Corbin Carroll. That's exciting. I know Christian Walker gets injured, oblique strain, probably going to be out for a while. That's why they go and get Josh Bell, who's also been hitting very well recently. They get Dylan Floro to add the bullpen too. I think it's still a B. I think it's a B. Maybe it's because their whole team's just playing better and they did get two relievers who are good and that was their biggest need. Maybe it's a little generous. Bell's playing well. But I think it's a B. I think it's a solid B for the Snakes.
It's a B minus for me. The rest of the deadline they did in the winter. Eugenio Suarez, and Jock Peterson, bringing back Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Some of them have
Eduardo
been.
Rodriguez, Jordan Montgomery. They did a lot in the winter to put themselves in a position already. So they didn't have a whole lot to do. I could have used another reliever here. I think this team is going to make the playoffs again. They're pretty straightforward for me, B minus. Speaking of a team that's very straightforward, the San Francisco Giants are a perplexing jambalaya of confusion. They send Jorge Soler out of town with Luke Jackson. Alex Cobb is gone, and they bring in Mark Canha from the Detroit Tigers. Walter White once said, no half measures. And Farhan Zaidi said, I can't hear you. You're a fake fictional character. I'm going to half measure the hell out of this thing.
I mean, I guess the most generous interpretation is they looked at their roster with the way Snell's pitching and, you know, the way that their rotation now sort of shakes out with Tyler Fitzgerald, you know, being one of the best players on earth. And they said, all right, we're four games out. We've invested a lot of money in this team. Our pitching can be pretty good here. So let's just try to make the wild card. But then why are we salary dumping one of our best hitters? Like, if you want to just do nothing, fine. Do nothing, right? And just stick with your team that you thought you built and was good enough, fine. But I know Marco Luciano's playing well in AAA. But you can't tell me that you got better by trading Jorge Soler. You just can't. There's no way. And so that alone, even if they've been playing better and their rotation actually does kind of look kind of interesting on paper, the way that they've been pitching, I just C minus, D plus. I don't know, man. The Giants are just such a blob operation. And then you trade for Mark Canha. Like, okay, you think he's replacing Jorge Soler, but then you are committed to giving Luciano playing time. I don't get it. I guess they're still good enough to hang around here, but I don't think they're going to make the postseason, and I don't know what the really plan is to like have an awesome team moving forward.
Yeah. And give them a meh.
That's too kind. D plus. Maybe I'm off base and Giants fans think this is fine, but I just don't understand it at all.
And then the Rockies traded two relievers away. Great. Thank you all for listening.
Here's how I want to finish, Jake.
Come on. Don't spend any time talking about Nick Mears.
No, not about the Rockies. You said, I think the D-backs are going to make the playoffs. Right before that, I said, I think the Padres are going to make the playoffs. So after all the deadline, National League, as it stands right now, Braves, half game. Mets, Padres are virtually tied. D-backs, half game back. Pirates and Cardinals, two games back. Well, who is your NL wildcard or NL postseason picture? And then we can say goodbye. I'm not even going to ask you about the AL. Just off of what you said before, who do you think? I think it will be San Diego and Arizona. And I think that the Cardinals are going to catch the Brewers. And I think the Brewers are going to completely fall out of it. Disrespectful. So that is my prediction. Okay. I picked the Cardinals to win the division before the season. So I'm just going to go down with that.
And the Braves.
The Braves will stay there in some form. Although I'm not committed to the order here. I think the Braves, I still don't really know. But I think it will be Braves, Padres, D-backs. And I think that the Cardinals will overtake the Brewers and the Brewers will fall out of it. Maybe that is disrespectful. That is where I'm at. How do you feel?
I was going to say that.
Oh, so I still... I know the Brewers are seven games up. So this would be like a total huge collapse. So
I was going to say that. Yeah. And then I looked at the standings and saw there was a seven-game gap and realized that was nuts. That's fair. Braves, Padres, Diamondbacks, please. Thank you so much.
Braves, Padres,
Cardinals don't make it. Mets don't make it.
Got it.
Mets don't make it.
All right. I'll admit, when I started making that point, I thought the Brewers were only like four or five up. So, but yep. I'm going down with it. Jake Mintz, what a podcast. What a delight. We have some writing to do. I have dinner to eat. I have other things. I guess I have baseball to watch in theory too. Thank you. I have to come hang out with you in 48 hours. So looking forward to that. But we hopefully you all enjoyed this trade deadline recap edition of Baseball Barbercast. Thank you to Andrew Hartz for producing. Thank you to the good people of Citizens Bank Park for giving Jake a place to record this. I guess you will emerge and see what the score of this game is. You can email us at baseballbarbercast@gmail.com. And final thoughts, Jake Mintz, before we say goodbye.
Final question is, I'm going to emerge from this random person's office, and I'm going to go out to the press box, and I'm going to write about trades. Do I get to tell someone I went to the ball game or that I watched the game? Yeah. That I like? How do I phrase that?
Yeah. Oh, you
I haven't watched a pitch.
Yeah, no, you went. You were there. You were at the yard.
I was at the game.
You were at the game. Justin Turner, RBI single, Mariners up 1-0, Mariners deadline, A+++++, and we will talk to you guys all later this week.